This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Yes, it is. And who are we talking about today,
Hi.
Sam?
Hi. Yes, we're talking about Talking Heads.
Hey, we could make so many bad gags about that.
We've got half an hour, so we may as well. so we're talking about their debut album from 1977, which is turning 40. The album's called Talking Heads 77.
And explanatory.
Yeah,
I like it.
Very, very explanatory. Nice title. Of course, Talking Heads, American new wave group from New York. They formed in 1975, and the band was made up of David Byrne on guitar and vocals, Chris France on drums, Tina Weymouth on bass guitar, and Jerry Harrison on keyboards. And they were all former art school students. In fact, the origins of Talking Heads can be traced to a Rhode Island School of Design, where David Byrne and Chris France had a band called the Artistics. And the Artistics kind of turned into Talking Heads when Tina Weymouth and Jerry Harrison joined the band as well. So the name Talking Heads itself actually came from a friend who found the name in a TV guide, apparently.
And that's quite a nice little snippet.
Yeah. So the term was actually used by TV studios to describe sort of a head and shoulder shot of a person talking as, you know, all content, no action kind of thing.
Right.
And so they liked the idea of that concept, and they decided, well, hey, let's name our band Talking Heads.
Yeah, why not?
And it's a really cool name. So they played their first gig as Talking Heads, opening for the Ramones, actually, at this club in New York called CBGB's.
That's such a good first gig to only opening for the Ramones, but at CBGB's.
I know.
That's quite, like,
yeah,
a good place to start,
I feel. It's like,
start as you mean to go on.
Exactly, yeah. And CBGB's, of course, is like this epicenter of the new wave and punk rock scene in New York at the time, and where all the great bands of the time were like playing, and that was kind of the scene.
Right.
And so basically the punk and new wave scene was growing in momentum in New York and combining art aesthetics with music sensibilities. And it was kind of a reaction to like the established music community and also the darkness of kind of Nixon America and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And this is where all these kind of outsiders, I guess you could say, came together. And you had bands like Talking Heads, Television, Blondie, The Ramones, Patti Smith, all these great people, you know, playing in this club. And it was like a really cool scene.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Imagine being like just sort of that being the scene that you were involved in.
I know.
That would be really cool. Big bit of history.
A very big bit of history. And you can actually still, I believe you can still go to CBGB's today, actually. It's kind of like a tourist attraction. And
oh, right.
Yeah, really cool. So just in terms of the album itself, so in 1976, they recorded a series of demos for CBS, and despite not being signed to a label, but because of their strong following in New York at the time, they were quickly signed to this independent record label called Sia Records, who also had the Ramones on their roster as well. They were quite a successful indie label at the time.
Right.
And they basically set to work recording their debut album. And so as with most of Talking Heads albums pre kind of 1980s, this album is kind of very much set in that kind of art punk new wave mold.
Yeah.
Quite guitar oriented, perhaps less experimental than a lot of their later work, but very much part of the kind of fabric of the New York scene at the time.
Yeah.
Very gritty, kind of garage rock like at times, and very reflective, I think, of the mood of kind of late 70s New York.
Yeah.
Kind of fits in with that whole vibe. And of course, later on, they would embrace other sounds in their music, like African rhythms and like synthesizers and, you know, that kind of thing. But at the moment, it's very much traditional kind of new wave, which makes sense because this is kind of right at the beginning of that scene.
Yeah.
So let's play a song.
Let's play a song. What have we got first?
We're gonna open up with...
Ooh, we've got another secret song.
That's like the hidden song.
Yeah.
We're going to start with the opening track on the record. And this was actually also the first single. It's called Uh-Oh, Love Comes to Town. And this isn't... It's not kind of typical of the rest of the album. There's kind of a bit of a calypso feel to this kind of track, a bit of Caribbean influences. But, you know, that's kind of David Byrne for you. He's always experimenting with sounds and looking outside of just your traditional kind of Western music, I guess, for influences. And I think you'll definitely hear some of that on this track.
Take my hand, believe in mystery.
That was Uh-Oh, Love Has Come to Town.
Yes, it was. And you can see very strong calypso feel with the drums. And
yeah, that was nice.
That was nice, yeah.
So we're talking about Talking Heads, if you've just tuned in, and their very first album, 77.
Turning 40. All right, so the next track we're going to play was the second track on the record. It's called New Feeling. And this one I think is more representative of the overall sound of the album. It's got quite a staccato rhythm, quite a jagged, jerky guitar sound to it. And it's kind of typical of kind of new wave tracks of the time. So this is New Feeling.
Just listening to there, Sam.
That was New Feeling, and you were saying that you felt that was kind of more kind of typical Talking
Heads.
Yeah,
that has like the kind of like kernel of later Talking Heads.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, kind of bouncing and.
I think it's so interesting though, because you can hear David Byrne's voice, or like the way he like uses his voice changes a lot from this first album. I reckon.
He does. He does a lot with his voice.
He does. He's got a good voice.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, the next track we're going to listen to opens up side two of this record, and it's called The Book I Read.
Oh, yeah.
And again, this is quite similar rhythmically to the previous track, although this song incidentally features some organ. And now you don't often associate...
No, I love a bit of organ.
I love a bit of organ.
A little bit of organ in the morning.
But you don't actually often associate new waves with kind of organ. But, you know, it's Talking Heads. They kind of broke the rules and did what they wanted to do. And
yep, they just did what they liked,
yeah,
basically.
And I guess this is one of those examples. So, yeah, enjoy.
I'm writing about the book I read. I have to sing about the
was that one there, Sam?
That was the book I read.
We've had some really nice feedback about this today. You guys are loving Talking Heads, unsurprisingly. Someone's texted in to say, thanks, I have this album still on vinyl and forgot how good it is. And somebody just called us to say they've worked out how long they've been listening to The Bee because they remember when mainstream radio wouldn't play this track 40 years ago and BFM would. So there we are.
Yeah.
A good landmark.
I don't
know
why you wouldn't want to play this album, though.
I know, it's so good.
All right, well, the next track we're going to play is the closing track on the original version of the album, and it was also the third single released from the record. It's called Pulled Up. And this is just one of those classic-sounding kind of poppy new wave tracks, quite quirky in places with the vocals, as David Byrne has a tendency to do, and there's like little fiddly guitar lines as well, and the track is kind of like the sort of stuff the band would ultimately go on to make in the 1980s.
Okay,
alrighty, so let's just find it. Here we go. Pulled Up.
And then you pulled me up, pulled me up, pulled me up, pulled me up, like
I hope everyone heard that.
I just love his, what he does with his voice.
Sam's David Byrne impression. Yeah, this
sorry
morning.
About that.
No, don't apologise.
Well,
it's
I
fantastic.
Left my big suit at home.
Yeah, I think everybody should have a big suit like David
I
Byrne.
I think so, yeah, it's just essential.
He'll grow into it one day.
It'll be good for fancy dress parties.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, well, the next track we're going to play wasn't on the original version of the album, but it actually appeared later on deluxe reissues. It was the band's first single, and it's called Love Goes to Building on Fire. And this was actually released 7 months prior to the record, and it's a kind of nice melodic love song, and it's one of the band's most well-known tracks.
All right.
So here we go. Just one moment. There we go.
Next to your love, I can't compare love. When it's not love, it's not love. It's not love, which is my face, which is a building.
This is Talking Heads with Love Building on Fire, and we're going to have the last track from our anniversary album today, which is of course Talking Heads 77, right after this.
My name's Perry O'Houlihan, and for my job, only the best photographic equipment passes muster.
It's the penis kid from Shorty, quick, quick!
As a paparazzo, I am my work. If it's not up to scratch, that's on me.
Back off!
Mr. Hosking, I'm just doing my job. Mr. Hosking!
I'm just vacuuming my car. Piss off!
That's why I use ProGear Professional Photographics. Whatever level you're at, you'll take better photos with ProGear equipment. ProGear, unparalleled quality. At Free Railway Street, Newmarket, or online at progear.co.nz.
Back off!
Nothing's gonna hurt you, babe.
Live Nation, CRS, 95BFM and Coup de Main present Cigarettes After Sex, live at the Power Station, Monday, January 8th. The Brooklyn-based ambient pop collective are coming to Auckland and they're bringing their hazy, swirling, sultry wall of sound with them. You don't want to miss Cigarettes After Sex at the Power Station, Monday, January 8th. Tickets on sale now from livenation.co.nz.
It's
At this radio station, we do our utmost to abide by the Broadcasting Standards Authority and their rules and guidelines. If you seriously think we've crossed the line on air, give us a call on 309 4831 within 20 working days of the broadcast date and tell us about it. We'll be able to help you out and tell you the procedure if you wish to make a formal complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Fuck knuckles, cock and piss. Malds. Thank you.
So we're back with anniversary albums this morning.
Hello, Morena.
We are talking about Talking Heads.
Yes, we are. So just a little bit about the kind of reception and legacy of this particular album. So it came out, and despite not being commercially successful, it was very well received by critics and was embraced by the local music scene big time in New York. It's considered one of the essential albums to come from the early days of the new wave scene and helped set the movement in stone of which Talking Heads and other bands would grow. I mean, Talking Heads themselves would kind of go from strength to strength after this and just continue to release album after album, which was really, really good, well into the 80s. In fact, I don't think they made a bad album.
We were just talking about that off air. I think they just always made interesting albums.
They did,
and they were different from each other, which is what makes them
very,
so
very different. Like, not one of their albums is kind of the same. And this album is now considered one of the best debut albums of all time. And also Rolling Stone magazine ranked it in their top 500 albums of all time list.
Nice.
And also Alan Cross in his Alternative Music Almanac also voted this album number 5 in his top 10 alternative albums list. So as you can
good
see,
one.
Pretty good props. So it's definitely recognized and considered a vital album in alternative and new wave circles. And definitely one of the albums that Talking Heads are best remembered for.
I remember my dad telling me when he was a student and Talking Heads came to Christchurch to play, and he like saved up for ages and ages to buy a ticket to go and see them. And then he was telling us this story one Christmas, and my uncle was like, yeah, I remember that gig, I just jumped over the fence. And my dad has never been so upset. He was like, I saved weeks. But yes, they are fantastic.
That's a cool
band.
Story. Yeah. So we're going to finish with perhaps their most well-known track and an all-time great track in popular music history, Psycho Killer.
This has been sampled by so many people.
It is, and covered by so many people.
So many people. For good reason, too.
Yeah, because it's just such a good song. You don't really get sick of it. That opening bass line just hooks you in. It's instantly recognisable. One of these most signature bass lines ever. And this actually song was also included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 500 songs that shaped rock and roll.
I reckon.
So very well deserved. So on that note, Psycho Killer.
Psycho Killer?
Not me.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
But, you know. Oh, yeah.
You've got the button, Sam. You've got the button.
Sorry, yeah. Not used to this. Thanks very much.
Oh, damn, that bass line's so good.
Better run, 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 run away.
Talking Heads, of course, with Psycho Killer. Thank you so much, Sam, for coming in and chatting to us about Talking Heads 77 turning 40 this year.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.